milk is needed to make 1 pound of cheese curds, 16 ounces, 64 ounces, or 160 ounces, 10 pounds of milk? The answer coming up.
It actually is a sound of freshness.
Rachel Kerr is talking about squeaky curds. She's with the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin and a bit of a cheese nerd.
Those elastic protein strands rub against the enamel of your teeth and create that characteristic sound.
The squeak turns stretchy when battered and deep fried. Some believe the idea to fry globs of cheese happened by accident. I consider it a happy accident. Okay, so did you guess it takes 10 pounds of milk to make 1 pound of curds? Now we want to know your favorite and where do you get your squeaky or deep fried curds? Go to our Civic Media Facebook page to share your answers. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Let's get back to Rafters Baseball here on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
Top of the ninth, we go Rafters 11, Battle Jacks 2. And Trey Benjamin on the mound. Kirk Schreider having a word with the umpire right now. So stepping in the batter's box is Brendan Bobo. A four RBI day for him. Three-run shot in the top of the second. But the Rafters got going in the first. So they got a run in the first. Johnson was able to cross home. Three runs in the second off of a three-run shot from Bobo. Two runs in the fourth. And then three runs in the seventh. And also two runs in the eighth. So just a remarkable day as the first offering comes in for a ball, 1-0. 1-0 count. Benjamin fires. Bobo swings and hits a ball. Well hit to deep left center field. Heading back towards the wall. This one's gone. Brendan Bobo does it once again. His second home run today. And a solo shot for him in the top of the ninth. Rafters 12, Battle Jacks 2. That is the fourth home run of the season for Brendan Bobo. Tying Gurevich in leading the team. What about that? Bobo, just unbelievable. A five RBI day for him. As Benjamin serves in the first pitch and comes in for a strike on Broussard, but how about it? Bobo to left center. The 0-1. And down low for a ball 1-1. The 1-1. Up and away outside, but Brendan Bobo. A three-run shot in the second, and then a solo home run in the top of the ninth. The 2-1. Way outside, and Broussard had to duck for a ball. 3-1. Three balls, one strike. Rafters 12. Battle Jacks 2. As pitch comes in outside for a ball. Broussard will take first. Rafters lead 12-2. They've had 12 hits and 12 runs. And this will bring up Jack Gurevich, the left-hander, as Benjamin serves in the first throw down low for a ball. Gurevich with a hit on four at-bats, a walk and a strikeout today. A 1-0 count, Benjamin fires and clips the left edge, finds the zone. 1-1. One ball, one strike. As the 1-1, Gurevich pops it out back on the left side, out of play. 1-2. One ball, two strikes. That first is Broussard. Benjamin will look in. He'll come set. fire the 1-2 way on a pass ball that goes behind Verberg. And taking second. Well, it looks like, believe it or not, Gervich was hit by the pitch, so he'll take first. And that will advance Broussard to second, but Rafters at least a run in the first, second, fourth, seventh, eighth, and ninth. They have been unbelievable and just have really gone back to playing Rafters baseball. Big innings for them as Degani will step in for a ball, 1-0. Benjamin sets, kicks, and fires in. Down below the zone, 2-0. So two balls, no strikes. The 2-0. Down low for a ball, 3-0. Count. Benjamin fires in the 3-0 and finds his own inside for a strike, 3-1. So a solo home run for Bobo. Gervich at first has a swing and a drive hit into left center field, and making an easy grab is Mazzola for the first out. So Degani flies out, and Nolan Sailors hasn't gotten a hit tonight, the only Rafter to do so. Three hits from Degani, two hits from Bobo, two from Ty Johnson, and one from everybody else. Nolan Sailors 0 for 5 today with two strikeouts as Benjamin sets in and throws in for a ball, 1-0. Gervich at first, Broussard at second, the 1-0. Not finding the strike zone, in for a ball, 2-0. A 2-0 count. Up and away outside, 3-0, so three straight balls for Benjamin. On the verge of putting the bases loaded. The 3-0, way inside for ball number four. So Sailors will take first. And this will bring up Chris Conniff. Three runs today. Him and Hugo have crossed home plate three times. He's gotten a hit and three at-bats as Chris Clark having a word with his pitcher, Trey Benjamin. And so is the infield. Rafters 12 hits. Compared to the Battle Jacks 6, but the Rafters 12 runs over the Battle Jacks 2 runs, so they're in front 12-2, and they took the lead 1-0 in the top of the first, haven't looked back since. They have just added to their total in basically almost every inning except for the 3rd, 5th, and 6th. So a new pitcher in store. And stepping in for the Battle Jacks. One down. Bases loaded. And a new pitcher for the Battle Jacks. So A.J. Riddle Jr. will step in. The 6'5 right-hander out of Central Methodist University. Rising redshirt junior from Dearborn Heights here in Michigan. So another pitcher stepping in. That's the 5th today in the Battle Jacks bullpen. So Riddle, 4 games appeared in, 7 innings pitched, allowing 7 hits and 2 runs and 4 strikeouts, a 2.57 ERA. He had 2 strikeouts earlier back on June the 22nd, in 3 innings of work against Kenosha. Bases loaded. Sailors at first. Standing at second is Gurvich, and at third is Broussard. One out, and this brings up Chris Conniff. Riddle fires in his first offering and finds his own for a strike, 0-1. The 0-1, swinging a ground ball that goes over to Allgaier, fields it up in the glove, the throw to Clark, the throw to first, and didn't get him in time, so one runner gets out at second, so Sailors gets out at second, but a run gets home in Garrett Broussard, so the Rafters lead 13-2 now. So a pinch hitter of Alex Duffy will step in. So Duffy out of Elon. And the guy that struggled at the plate, he's been a reliable catcher behind the plate. As the first pitch comes inside for a strike, 0-1. Duffy batting a 120, three hits on 25 at-bats. 0-1 count with two down. Riddle fires in for a strike, 0-2. No balls, two strikes. The 0-2. Swinging a line drive that drops into the glove of Mazzola in left field. Three outs. Rafters get two more runs. They lead 13-2. Find out next if they have three more outs in them to close out this game. We'll be back momentarily here on WFHR.
Hi, I'm Ryan Blaney, a third-generation race car driver, and we dedicate a lot of our time to going as fast as possible. My Grandpa Lou is the reason why my dad and I started racing, and I'm really proud to follow in his tracks. But when my grandpa was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, it was a very unexpected bump in the road for us. I've learned a lot on this journey with my Grandpa Lou, and the memories of my grandpa will always be with me. It's important to notice if older family members are acting differently, experiencing problems with their memory, or having trouble with routine tasks. Talking about Alzheimer's can be really tough, but if you notice something, have a conversation with your loved one. Encourage them to see a doctor or offer to go with them. Early detection of Alzheimer's can give your family time to explore support services, make a plan for the future, and access available treatments. The Alzheimer's Association provides care, support, and research to help you take control of the situation with your family and manage the disease together. If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. Visit alz.org/time-to-talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripescast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
Let's get back to the game here on WFHR.
Bottom of the ninth inning, and Mitchell Whitcamp has stepped on the mound for the Rafters. One game appeared in. As a swing and a ball, well hit to deep left center field, heading back towards the wall, and a home run, a solo home run, comes at the hands of the catcher, Spencer Verberg. And this is the first home run for the Battle Jacks, not only this game, but in this stadium. So 13-3, and Spencer Verberg gets a home run and brings a run back, but the Rafters lead 13-3. So a big shot there from Verberg, but I will tell you, it has gone really dark here. The rain and thunderstorm is here. It has gotten really dark at this ballpark. Clouds have come in from the left side of the ballpark. And now Whitcamp stepping on the mound out of Salisbury University. The 1-0 has a swing and a shot popped up into the second baseman in Taylor, but it looks like having a better angle at it was Gurvich for one down. But how about it? Spencer Verberg, a solo home run, as one out, Whitcamp, who's had one game appeared in with an inning pitched and only one walk, as a swing and a ground ball over to third baseman Degatti, whips it over to first for two down. So the Raptors just, and these both these two teams just trying to get in this last batter. So bringing up JT Sokolov, 1-for-4 today, as firing in as first pitch comes in for a ball, 1-0. 1-0 count. It looks like there's some lightning. You're very close. It's a 1-0 as a swing and a grounder fouled on the left side. So two down, 1-1 count. Raptors looking to get two more strikes here, or one out, just to see this one out. And they'll improve to 15-12. The 1-1 swing and a ground ball that goes foul on the left side. 1-2, potentially the final strike of the night. And the rain is starting to pour. It's really coming down. The 1-2, swinging a line drive. That Degatti dropped it at third. As everybody was like, are you serious? The rain is starting to pour down here in Battle Creek. So Degatti had it in the glove, dropped it in and out of his glove. As Charlie Reed will step in. As Whitcamp delivers in for a ball, it is really starting to pour. 1-0 count, lightning in the area as well. They're just looking for this final out of the night to end it. The 1-0, way down low for a ball, 2-0. So two balls, no strikes, two outs. The 2-0, and fouled on the inside for a strike, 2-1. So 2-1 count. The rain has surely made its way here. The 2-1 swing and a ground ball over to Degatti at third. Looks at second. Delivers it to Taylor, and that will do it. The Raptors split the series with the Battle Jacks. They win 13-3, and absolute avalanche of runs have come in, and they really have taken it to them. So players, coaches and staff running off the field right now as it is pouring down rain. But a big day for Wisconsin Rapids. Guys really stepped up when needed. And you look at it from time and time again. Brendan Bobo, two home runs for him. A solo home run in the ninth and a three-run shot in the second inning. He was all over the place. Raptors just absolutely dominated the Battle Jacks today. But for a game for Wisconsin Rapids, a feel-good game, a get-back game, a bounce-back game for them. They get back. They dominate 13-3, so they head up to Traverse City for two more games. But we'll see you tomorrow in Traverse City. First pitch is scheduled at 7:05. I'll be on around 6:50 for players, coaches, and staff at Wisconsin Rapids. For everybody at WFHR, my name is Joey Fear, saying so long from Battle Creek. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody.
Saturdays at 1, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Saturdays at 1 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app.
I'm John O'Hurley, and I support Paralyzed Veterans of America.
Back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789.
Smiles are powerful. They spread joy, laughter, and hope. But not everyone gets a fair chance at a smile. Every 3 minutes, a baby is born with a cleft, making it difficult to talk, hear, eat, and even breathe. In America, most children with clefts receive immediate care, but others around the world may never have access to the surgery they need to thrive. SmileTrain is changing that. As the world's largest cleft charity, Our sustainable model has sponsored more than 1.5 million smiles. We offer training and financial support to local medical professionals so they can provide life-changing surgery and other essential services at no cost to families.
It's more than to see these children, to hear the difference that we make. And for me, being born with a cleft lip and palate, knowing what they went through is so life-changing for me.
Help us change the world one smile at a time. To learn more, visit smiletrain.org/learn.
What grows in the forest? Trees? Sure. Know what else grows in the forest? Our imagination, our sense of wonder, and our family bonds grow too. Because when we disconnect from this and connect with this, we reconnect with each other and build family memories we will carry with us forever. The forest is closer than you think. Find a forest near you and start exploring at discovertheforest.org. It's easy. Just put in your zip code to find family-friendly outdoor destinations near you. You'll also find guides to free activities, games, and amazing forest facts. Give the magic of the outdoors to your kids and reconnect with your family. Find a forest near you at discovertheforest.org. That's discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Your hometown news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Text us that same number. On the line, my good friend, attorney Fred Gordon and former alderman of the city of Milwaukee. He now resides in Charlotte, North Carolina. But Fred, before we went to break, we were talking about the viaduct. We were talking about the fact that peaceful marches were set to cross the viaduct, and there was opposition on the other end. I think there were certainly, at one point in time, I think I read 10,000 people who were going to march across that viaduct. On the other side of the viaduct waiting were angry Polish and German people who did not want people. And so why was the viaduct chosen to cross? Was it because knowing that those vicious people were on the other side to prove a point?
Well, there was certainly knowledge of resistance coming from people who did not want black folks in their neighborhood.
Right.
And as I indicated earlier, the viaducts were the separating lines between the north side and the south side of the city. And that particular viaduct was chosen because once you crossed it, you were right there on the south side. Everything changed. And, you know, growing up, when you went across the viaducts to the south side,
it didn't go.
It was like a whole new world.
Right. Didn't go.
You know, so as a result, the strategy was to confront that reality and to march there. Because at that time, as I was saying earlier, the fair housing legislation for the city of Milwaukee was being debated by the Milwaukee Common Council. And Bill Phillips was leading the charge from the legislative aspect. Father Grappi was all about direct action. And because he was a white Catholic priest, he got attention from the media. And he was very smart and very skillful in using the media to promote what was being done as far as direct action was concerned and the marches that were taking place. And our strategy was to march every day until the legislation at the city level was passed. And that's what we did. And the response was, and you mentioned earlier, Earl, that the police, they were there. And I'll never forget it because, you know, they stood in formation a lot of cops, probably anywhere from 100 to 100 cops or more. And they stood there with their batons ready and said nothing, did nothing, while all this chaos was going on. Because, you know, I had never been called the N-word until I marched across the viaduct in my life. So as a result, that was obviously a shock to my system. But because we were committed to that aspect of the struggle, as we called it, we continued to march.
You know, Fred, as I think back, the over 200 days the marches went on in the city of Milwaukee. And why that's significant, Fred, is it's not like it's in Florida. The weather changes, right?
Yep.
And even during that inclement weather, the people continue to march.
Yes, absolutely. We got our impetus to do that from the Montgomery bus boycott, which lasted, as you know, for over a year, where people, you know, in the South, in Montgomery, Alabama, stopped riding the buses because of having to ride in the back of the bus and because of the protest that Rosa Parks was involved in. But no, the marches went on. Because people were committed, and again, the world was watching. You know, Milwaukee started to become more known for, you know, its segregated and racist policies because of that, and because Father Grappi was in the forefront, made it possible for the media to say, "Oh, this is newsworthy." But the marches continued until the legislation was finally passed. And as a result, you know, you look at what's happening now in Milwaukee, and things are different, but not that much different.
No, you know, Fred, what people need to really focus on is that at the root of these marches was the fact that black people were locked into a certain segment of the city where we could buy houses and could not. And were locked out of the constitutional rights. You're an attorney. Man, the fact that people, even based on what was right and what was wrong, and their constitutional rights were blatantly being disavowed, the fact that we had to go through all of that is pretty amazing to me.
Well, not only is it amazing, girl, it's instructive of the fact that that took place during that period of time. We now have legislation to basically do whatever it is that we want to do, but the mentality and the mindset of those in control is still the same. Witness what's happening in the state of Florida.
Right.
Here we are celebrating Black History Month, and legislation has been passed in the state of Florida and endorsed by the governor saying that we can't learn about our history because it'll make white folks.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy. You know what? We should make an emergency communication plan. That way we're ready this year. At my dorm, we have emergency kits for earthquakes and wildfires, but I'm sure there's something more local I can send you with a link.
Okay. Smart.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
The
The law firm of Gingras Thompson & Wachs has a track record of making life-changing, positive differences for their clients. $5.25 million to a woman who suffered brain injuries and her husband passed away when struck by a drunk driver. $1 million to three different individuals injured by drunk drivers. $1 million settlement to a man injured in a motorcycle accident. Call Gingras Thompson & Wachs, 855-954-1186.
Calling to win, Gingras Thompson & Wachs, GTWLawyers.com.
I'm Naheem Hines, professional football player and proud supporter of the Muscular Dystrophy Association. My mom was diagnosed with muscular dystrophy when I was 14, and I watched her struggle. But MDA helped her get the best treatments and care, and they also help kids like my buddy Ethan.
My name is Ethan, and I'm 12 years old. Thanks to the Muscular Dystrophy Association and people like you, I have more hope than ever before. From day one, they've treated me like family at my local care center. MDA is the only one that funds over 150 care centers across the U.S. to help provide state-of-the-art care for adults and kids like me.
For over 70 years, MDA has been transforming the lives of people living with muscular dystrophy, ALS, and other related neuromuscular diseases. They fund the research for breakthrough treatments, care, and cures. And MDA provides support to thousands of families like mine and Ethan's in communities like yours. Thanks to MDA, kids and adults can live life to its fullest. Join us and learn more at MDA.org today.
Mama, what does the chicken say? Dog. Cat. Giraffe.
Giraffe.
You're not going to get it all right. Just make sure you nail the big stuff, like making sure your kids are buckled correctly in the right seat for their age and size. Get it right.
Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Victor deployed for the first time to Afghanistan in 2003. At 4 in the morning, my phone rang. They said, "I regret to inform you that your husband was wounded in action." Victor sustained a moderate traumatic brain injury. I was doing school full time, and I was also then caring for Victor. One of the most important elements of caregiving is taking care of yourself. I just didn't want to forget that I also had goals and that I also had a life. What I did is I challenged Victor to meet me halfway. There are almost 6 million military and veteran caregivers across the nation. We have our own journey, and we can fulfill that journey at the same time that we are helping our loved one.
Visit aarp.org/caregiving for a free military veteran's guide to navigate your caregiving journey and better care for your loved one and yourself. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Chance for scattered thunderstorms tonight, otherwise cloudy skies. Lows level off around 59, northwest winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Scattered thunderstorms likely tomorrow, daytime highs approaching 71, overcast skies. Lows dip down to about 55, tomorrow night mainly cloudy skies. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 73.
A boy's born in hot-time Mississippi, surrounded by for what that ain't so pretty. His parents give him love and affection to keep him strong, moving in the right direction, living just enough for the city. His father works some days for 14 hours, and you can bet he barely makes a dollar. His mother goes to scrub the floors for Minnie, and you best believe she hardly gets a penny. Living just enough for the city. Yeah. than many. His patience long, but soon it won't have any. To find a job is like a haystack needle. Cause where he lives, they don't use colored people. Living just enough for the situation.
None other than Stevie Wonder, Living for the City. My guest is Fred Gordon, Attorney Fred Gordon, former alderman and, you know, and friend. And we're talking about those really impressionable times, Fred, that, you know, kind of made us who we are. You know, before we went to break, man, we were talking about the fact that all people wanted to do, man, you're an attorney. All people wanted was what the nation said, you know, we had a right to. And yet the fact that people had to fight. And Fred, in many instances, as you just stated in what the commercials that the news that we heard before we got back on the air, that there are people right now still fighting, still attempting to prevent citizens of this nation who fought, bled, and died for it to have equal and fair opportunities and representation in this country.
Yeah, I think that what you're seeing in Florida and other states around the critical race theory debate and the suppression of the opportunity to teach and have discourse, intelligent discourse, you know, about America's past is reflective of what we were marching for and what we were fighting for. And there's a slogan that Howard Fuller used to use, and I use it myself, called Aluta Continua. It's the struggle continues. And I think that that's the way it's going to be, certainly for, you know, the rest of our lives, because, you know, we're getting older, and the young people who are now in the vanguard of, you know, dealing with the direct action, marching, protesting, it's up to them to continue to struggle, continue to fight, because the retrenchment on the civil rights that were legislated in the 60s, are now, that's still going on. It's stronger than it ever was, in my opinion. We have legislation, we have laws on the books, but the reality is that for people of color in America, you still can't get a loan from a bank. You still have issues in terms of where you'd like to live. There's still roadblocks and walls that keep us apart. So, yeah, it's still a struggle. It'll always be, as long as we are in America. And I think that it's important for us as the elders to teach our children, to teach young people. And I think that that is going to be what our role is, because we remember what it was like. We've seen advances, we've seen progress in many, many respects. But then you look at what happened with Tyre Nichols
right
in Memphis. And I tell you, man, those cops, they would have fit right into Harold Breyer's squad back in the 60s.
Fred, people who are listening may not believe that, but what those guys did used to happen with law enforcement in the city of Milwaukee. They used to have what they call an elevator ride. Remember that?
That's right. Oh, yes. Absolutely.
You know, they were... Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead, Fred.
The police repression that took place in Milwaukee during that period of time was so ingrained, you know, in the psyche of people of color, black people, that
terrifying.
You knew where not to be.
Yes.
Even though they didn't have those sundown laws in the South, in the North, you knew where not to be after a certain period of time. And we learned very, very quickly where you could go and where you could not go. And if you went there, you should go in a group so that, you know, there would be witnesses.
So, Fred, you just talked about something called a sundown law. In this state, in the state of Wisconsin, let's talk about what a sundown law was, because some may argue it still exists.
Oh, absolutely. The sundown laws originated in the South. And basically, there were towns where it was posted on billboards and signs. Colored people, be at home or be out of town by sundown, or you would get arrested. And if you got arrested, you'd be in jail, and you would get your butt kicked.
Right.
And that was the reality. And, you know, we know all about, you know, the Green Book and the travels that black folk took from various places in the country when they were traveling in the South, you know, during the heights of segregation. And that was a reality in Milwaukee. I mean, in Wisconsin. You knew what was going on. And, you know, remember the Posse Comitatus?
Yes, you know.
Yes, that started in Wisconsin. And it was basically, you know, armed white folk who wanted to keep black folk from leaving, you know, the city of Milwaukee or wherever black folks live and going up north. So that is a real history of racism in Wisconsin and in this country.
So, Fred,
it still persists.
And the thing is, what people should know is we're not talking about 100 years ago, right?
No.
You know, it's pretty recent history. And yet, you know, Wisconsin's still one of the most segregated states in the United States. It has not changed from that perspective. And since black people only make up 5% of the population in the state, you always hear that people are afraid in the state, you know, of black people. But Fred, why? I mean, what have black people done in the state of Wisconsin to impact and affect whites across the state? Do you know of any situations where we've gone into these different areas, segregated areas of the state, and pounced upon white people, raped white women, or you know, robbed?
Oh, no, that's never been the case, and it never will be the case. And as a result, the fear mongering that has existed throughout this country's history is still being perpetrated in many respects. You know, as I spoke about the critical race theory controversy, you know, that's a symptom of that. Why would you not want to teach people about history and not include what happened to people of color in this country? And now you want to spare white people's feelings, white children's feelings, because, Earl, the controversy is so ridiculous. The courses that are being offered at the college level, because I don't know about you, but I really learned about history, about our history, you know, when I went to college.
So, Fred, hang on.
I was in high school, man, we never studied history.
So let's bring some...
We never studied slavery.
Fred, let's bring some callers on quickly. Let's go to Cassandra from Madison. Hey, good morning, Cassandra. Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Yeah, oh, Fred, I am very much enjoying your commentary today. There are two points that I would like to get your opinion on. Number one, I agree with you about the African-Americans studies class. I did not get that information on the history of my ancestors until I enrolled in a course in college and also in graduate school. However, I think what the media is doing, they're not disclosing the full information about the course. DeSantis, he is a bigot, in my personal opinion. However, the course developers, they did not follow the instructions about what the state had wanted for the course. They wanted an African-American history class, not an African-American studies class. So some of the units that they were offering, it really did not meet the standards. I'm a professor. Whenever I design a course, I have to abide by the program and the course objectives, and the individuals who wrote the course, they really didn't do that. My second point that I want to ask you is, if you've been following the migrant protest movement in New York, and here is something that concerns me as an African-American female. The migrants who are out there protesting in New York because they do not want to move into what they feel are inferior accommodations, those migrants, they have that right to protest because our ancestors in the civil rights movement fought for their ability to exercise their free voice. Now, as African Americans, we are not getting involved in the immigration argument, and it is having an impact, especially on black males in employment in construction and the other trades. And so I just like to get your point of view, and I'm going to listen off the air because I have to get ready for work, but very much enjoying your commentary.
Hey, Cassandra, thank you very much for the call. Fred, hang on. We've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
Skyscraper and everything.
Hey, brother. Hey, come here, Slick. Huh? Hey, you look hip, man. Hey, you want to make yourself $5, man?
Yeah, brother.
Hey, look here. Run this across the street for me right quick, okay? Run this across the street for me.
Hey. What? Huh? I don't know. What? I'm just going across the street.
Shut your mouth.
Oh, no. What'd I do?
Turn around. Put your hands behind your back. Let's go.
A jury of your peers having found you guilty. 10 years.
What?
Come on. Get in that cell, nigga.
No.
To achieving successful jury verdicts and settlements, one law firm stands out above the rest. Gingras Thompson & Wachs, a $6.2 million settlement for a woman permanently paralyzed as a result of medical malpractice. $4.9 million to members of a family injured due to the negligence of a truck driver and his employer. Call Gingras Thompson & Wachs today, 855-954-1186. Here's what's happening. WFHR Community Calendar is brought to you by Something Sweet, Swiftwater Ice Cream. Enjoy the guilt-free, no-fat, no-sugar scooped ice cream and the 32 flavors of Cedar Crest. And don't forget their made-to-order appetizers. It'll leave your taste buds dancing. Family-owned and operated and open daily from noon until 9 p.m. Swiftwater Ice Cream in Nakusa, or find them on Facebook.
Lake Sherwood's 4th of July celebration will be taking place Saturday, July 1st from 10 a.m. to 11 p.m. Events include a craft craft fair, kids games, beanbag tournament, the Shermalot ski team performance at 6:30 p.m. and fireworks at dusk. Raffle tickets will also be available, with some of the giveaways including a 65-inch TV, an 8-inch tablet, and a Blackstone gas combo grill. The Wisconsin Rapids Moravian Church invites you to a brat fry on Tuesday, July 4th from 3:30 to 8 p.m. Brats, hamburgers, chips, popcorn, and baked goods will all be available for purchase. Come get refreshments before the start of the fireworks.
Max Inc. Radio with Dennis Graham from Rockonson.
Appreciate all the support of Mad Radio 92.7. And by the way, a tip of the hat to Civic Media. That was a great article on the Cap Times by Paul Fanlon. You guys got a great model that you're growing around the state, local interest with radio stations throughout these different markets. And a tip of the hat, and you're focusing on local media. Music and nobody's doing it, so great job.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio Saturday night, 6 to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
From the hometown of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news talk and sports station.
Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. Attorney Fred Gordon is on the line. Fred, you want to respond to Cassandra?
And thank her for her comments. The immigration issue is a very important issue because even though as black folk we're not necessarily involved in it to the extent that others may be, we clearly understand its import. And here in North Carolina, where I live, it's a major issue because immigrants and Latin folks from other countries have come to North Carolina, and they're doing the jobs that black folk used to do. And that's something that certainly should spur, you know, some conversation. Because it certainly is talked about here, and it's very apparent. I've noticed that I've lived now for 8 years, and it's one of the first things that I noticed when I moved here. And that is something that obviously is going to be debated and dealt with on the border. But those folks are moving throughout the South, and, you know, they're taking the jobs and they're doing the kind of work that black folk used to do, but don't do anymore. And, of course, they're doing it for less money in many respects. But, you know, for them, coming from where they came from, it's a major move up. So it's something that we should pay attention to because I think that there's a lot of similarity between how they're being oppressed and how we're being oppressed.
You know, Fred, she also talked about the CRT, and you mentioned something about that earlier.
Yes.
Now, she's a professor, and
I believe I know her. I recognized her voice.
Okay. So, but
yeah, no. What's happening with the CRT, man? It's incredible.
Yeah,
I was listening to D.L. Hughley last night, and he made a statement about the fact that white folks are now trying to prevent us from learning about our history when in the 50s, before Brown versus the Board of Education, they didn't want us to learn anything. So you see the dichotomy that's taking place just in a, like we were saying earlier, in a relatively short period of time.
You know, Fred, and the fact that it's acceptable. Let's do this. Let's bring Tom from L.A. Tom, quickly.
Well, I want to say this conversation is excellent. I didn't realize, being someone that was from the northwestern part of Wisconsin, that there was an actual kind of movement to not allow black people actually to move up into the northern part of Wisconsin. I think that people sometimes in Wisconsin think because, they love the Green Bay Packers and most of those guys are black, that means that they're not racist. Whereas if they had a family that was moving from Milwaukee into their small little rural area, maybe it would have an issue. I don't know. It seems to me that there need to be more more people from Milwaukee and maybe more black people need to move into these areas. So therefore, people will actually, not fear out of some tripped up stereotype or some type of crazy ideas that they have. But it's the fear that's holding them back. And I think we do need to integrate by actually, getting more people, seeing other than just the Green Bay Packers on their Sunday, black people in the upper part of the Midwest and in the upper part of the northwestern part of Wisconsin.
Hey, Tom, man. Thank you very much for the call. Fred?
I think he's right in the sense that the perception of how we as citizens interact with each other is certainly buttressed by what we see and what we hear through the media. And, shows like this, forums, anything that we can do to educate each other, because it's not just black folks trying to educate white people. It's black folks educating black folks.
Yes.
It's black folks educating Latin people and vice versa. Education is the key, because knowledge is power, as the saying goes. And before you can get power, you have to know what power is.
So let's do this. So, Fred, I'm going to be reaching out to you again because there's so much more dialogue for us to have, man. I want to thank you very much for taking out the time. But I'm going to be reaching out again. We're just beginning the month, and I need to have your voice heard more. You be willing to do that?
Oh, always a pleasure, brother. We only have 26 days, yeah. 27 days.
But we're going to use them well. Thank you very much, man.
We got to use them. We got to use them.
All right, got to run.
All right, brother.
All right, we'll be back.
Bye-bye.
We'll be back.
Hey, Earl, do you hear me?
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
How do you locate a support group, professional association, or local organization? United Way's 211 will provide the answers to these questions and more. 211 is your connection to programs and services
in Central Wisconsin. WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM, and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.